I'd like to go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome you to our morning session, virtual face-to-face rethinking and missions interviews. And before I introduce our two speakers this morning, I'd like to remind everyone to please fill out the evaluations, which are online. They are two places, on the EDUCAUSE conference homepage and also on the email homepage. If you go out to the email kiosk where you go to check your email, you can find the online information there to submit your session evaluations. And this morning we will be hearing from Ms. Ann Bishop and Ms. Martha Allman. Martha Allman, seated right there, is the admissions director at Wake Forest, and she's been there since 1982, and she's been the director of admissions since 2001. We also have this morning with us Ms. Ann L. Bishop. She's the director of applications development at Wake Forest University in communications. She directs the university's development and testing of applications that supports academic, student life, and the university's business functions. We're so pleased to have them this morning. Let's give them our attention.
Thank you. As was pointed out, we have both been at the university a long time. I've been in the IT department since 1981, and usually there's somebody in the audience who wasn't born yet, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. The point is that we have both been there long enough to see a lot of change, and one of those changes is something that we worked on together that we want to talk about today that we fondly call virtual interviews. So I just want to sort of give you an idea of what we'll be talking about. First, give you a little bit of information about Wake Forest that will help you understand what we did and why we did the virtual interviews, how we made it happen. And then, of course, the most interesting part is the results, how it all turned out. So I'll turn it over to Martha to get us started.
Since I'm an admissions person and there's that offside chance that some of you may have a child who's high school age, I have to talk about my school first. So let me show you Wake Forest, if you have not seen it. Wake Forest is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We have roughly 4,500 undergraduate students. We have graduate schools of law, medicine, divinity, business, undergraduate and graduate schools of business, and we have a graduate school of arts and sciences. We like to talk about Wake Forest as being a community of communities. It's a very closely knit place. We are kind of an unusual size at 4,500. So we are a big college but a small university, and we have a lot of the feel of a liberal arts college. Our students live on campus. Our student faculty ratio is 11 to 1. Our classes are all taught by faculty. There's that close feeling, and yet wonderful research opportunities. We have houses abroad. We have a student body that is richly diverse. And so we really do have the best of both worlds. This shows you a little bit about our class this year. We are highly selective in the admissions process. We are ranked in the top 25 in U.S. News and World Report, as you may know. But we are very interested in building a class. We don't do our admissions process in a scientific method, and so it really is very important to us to have a feel for our students as we try to attract debaters and documentary filmmakers and scientists and historians and so forth. Until 2008, we had a very traditional kind of admissions process. Students submitted their academic records. They submitted an essay. They submitted standardized test scores, either SAT and ACT. And we as admissions staff sorted through all of those and made decisions. But we weren't entirely happy with that process. We were not getting the kinds of diversity numbers that we wanted. We were not getting the kind of international numbers that we wanted. We were not attracting some students that we knew we really wanted. And so we began getting kind of dissatisfied with the status quo deciding that we wanted to do something a little different. So you're saying, okay, now how does virtual interviews fit into all of this? Well, how it actually fits in is our bold decision to become test optional in admissions. In 2007, the stars kind of aligned at Wake Forest. Joseph Soares was on our sociology department faculty. He published a book called The Power of Privilege, which linked SATs more closely to economic family income than anything else, and said that perhaps it was disadvantageous to students who were from lower socioeconomic backgrounds or minority students or students who were particularly interested in the fine arts. Also at that time, we as an admission staff were becoming a little uncomfortable with using the SAT. We were starting to look at data that was coming out of the University of California, Bates, and so forth, and saying, you know, we think we could maybe make decisions without an SAT. At the same time, we had a new provost coming in, an economist who herself had done a lot of the same kind of research Joseph Soares had done, suggesting that the SAT was really not a very good predictor of GPA, of student performance and engagement. So we put all of our heads together. We went to our faculty. We went to our trustees. We went to various constituents and decided in May of 2008 to make that big, bold statement that we were going to become test optional in admissions. But we had this kind of nagging feeling. If we did away with the SAT, we kind of wanted something else to replace it with. We decided to really beef up our application, to ask lots of interesting short answer questions like what outrages you and to argue a position you don't support, so we could really kind of get a feel for students. But we wanted to go back to those old days of when we did student interviews. And with a limited staff and limited time in this huge applicant pool, we really wondered how we could do that. So we did what happens a lot on every campus. We have a big dream in the admissions office, and we go to our IS people and say, can you make this work for us?
So that's exactly what they did. And when we first heard about this project, we were thinking, oh, let's get a brainstorming team together, and that's what we did, to think about how we could do interviews with all these students, knowing that we couldn't possibly bring them all to campus. So then we had our first meeting with Martha's team and found that they were thinking something quite different from what our brainstorming team was thinking. They were thinking about a written interview process. And we were saying a written interview process. And as Martha pointed out, they had 14 admissions counselors. They had the prospect facing them of interviewing thousands of students. And unless they can clone themselves and work 24 hours a day, that was going to be pretty difficult, because time zone changes and that sort of thing would make it really hard for them to interview all of these students. So we saw the necessity for a written interview. The brainstorming team went on thinking their own things, and the development team stepped in and said, a written interview? What is this going to be like? And we had to start thinking about, well, what characterizes an interview as opposed to an essay? We already have an essay section on the test. How is this going to be different? So when you think about the characteristics of an interview, first of all, you see the questions or you hear the questions for the first time, and you pretty quickly have to turn around, respond, formulate an answer. So there's this spontaneous aspect to an interview that you don't really have when you're thinking about an essay. You also have a time limit factor, more so with the interview than you do with essays. Students may take 3 days to or 3 weeks to compose their essays that they submit for admission. Who knows? They can take as long as they want. But when you're in an interview, in an application, admissions interview is usually about 30 minutes, you don't have that luxury of time to think a long time about what you're going to say. You've got to be pretty articulate. You've got to be concise. You've got to come to the point. You've got to say what you want to say. So these were the things we started looking at and thinking, okay, there really is a difference between a written essay and a written interview. Now, how in the world are we going to make that happen? We started thinking about all the pieces that would be necessary, of course, in our software developer way, all the background pieces, all the architecture we would need. We were thinking about the interface. There had to be some way for the admissions counselors to come up with the questions they wanted and store those somewhere, for these questions to be presented to the students. and for the students to be able to have a way to answer those questions and submit them. There had to be some timed aspect to it. There had to be some way for the admissions folks to go back later and review all these things that had been submitted. There had to be some kind of security wrapped around it so they knew who was actually submitting. The list just went on and on. This was already into June, and we were looking at needing to have this done by fall. So the big word that was in our mind was, yikes, how are we going to do this? So fortunately, we found some help in our student information system banner. There are a lot of ways to apply to Wake Forest online, but one of the things that we were not using yet at that time was the banner application for admission that came with our student information system. We just had not used that particular functionality. So one of our developers said, you know, that application for admission has an essay section. Could we just strip off the front and look at that essay section and give it the characteristics of an interview rather than an essay and make this happen? So that's what the development team set about to do. First of all, we looked at the business of questions. There was a capability there in the essay section to ask questions. But as anybody knows, if we asked the students the same questions, the questions would appear on Facebook in about 10 minutes, and everybody would know exactly what the questions are when you go to a Wake Forest virtual interview. So we knew we couldn't do that. So we decided that we needed to have some way of randomly giving out questions. So we developed 5 question pools. And when a student comes into the interview, she gets 5 randomly selected questions from those question pools. So it's highly unlikely that any 2 students, much less any 2 students who actually know each other, are going to get the same questions. So then we thought about the timing factor. With the essay, you can write as long as you want. With the interview, we wanted to stick with what they usually do and keep it to about 30 minutes. So we had lots of discussions with her team about, well, how do we want to do this? And they finally decided, well, if we have 5 questions, let's just divide it up evenly and do 6 minutes per question. So we already had the user interface there, courtesy of the application for admission, to present the questions, but we had to add all the logic and the timing and the features to make it a timed event so that the student had 6 minutes to answer the questions. At the end of 6 minutes, if you're not through typing, it gets submitted anyway. If you want to finish your answer and submit before the 6 minutes is up, that's fine. But you don't have any more than 6 minutes on any one question. We also thought it was important not to let the students go back and work on a question that they had already responded to. So we had to build in the capability to keep students from going back. Just so, like, you can't unsay what you have said when you're talking, we didn't want the students to be able to say, oh, you know, I should have said this, and go back and redo. So we thought that was another aspect of the interview that made it different from an essay. So we built that in. We also built in a little timer on the screen where the student was answering the questions so they could see when their 6 minutes was coming to a close. So by taking advantage of what was built into the banner application for admission, we really got pretty far down the road a lot more quickly than we had ever hoped that we would. We had all the architecture there already to store the questions and to store the responses. We had the interface there to ask the questions. We just had to work on it to give it all these characteristics. We had the capability already built in there for the interviewers to go back later and look at what the responses were. That was already built into the system. We already had the PIN assignment and that sort of security wrapper already built into it. So this literally saved us months of time. One of the extra things that we did have to do is build a couple of more reports since we were using this in sort of an unusual way. We also had already the capability for the interview to be checked off as being done. If you're familiar with admissions, you know there's this long list of things and they all got to be checked off. And we were able to take advantage of that and get it checked off as something that was done. So we were pretty happy with the way the written interview was coming along. But the brainstorming team, they weren't very happy. They said, wait a minute, you still are having students just put words on paper, or in this case, words on a computer screen. We understand why you need that, but can't we do something with technology to give people a real face-to-face experience? Isn't that going to be possible? You learn a lot about a student who's applying to you, and they learn a lot about you, and they learn a lot about your university in that personal interview. There's just something about seeing people face-to-face that really helps you get to know people better. Wake Forest, as Martha has pointed out, is a really special place. The sense of community is very strong. The faculty really do know your name. The administrators probably know your name. You might even get the chance to work closely with the provost or the president or some other administrator while you were a student at Wake Forest. And we wanted the students who were interviewing to get that special feeling to really know what we were about. The brainstorming team threw out a lot of options. Some of them were pretty reasonable, some of them were pretty outlandish. But we came up with two that we thought might work. The first one, Skype. Who would have thought? Skype is readily available. It's pretty easy to use. A lot of people have Skype accounts already. It has the advantage of having both the audio component and the video component. Now, it was really important to us that the applicant be able to see the interviewer. It would be nice if the interviewer could see the applicant too, but we didn't want to require that the student have a camera. But if the student had a camera, that was great. Then it really was a two-way face-to-face interview. So we thought, well, Skype is going to be a good option. One of the things that worried us a little bit about Skype, though, was it's a technology barrier. Yeah, the barrier's not that big anymore, but it is a barrier because it sort of assumes that you have your own computer, that you are techie enough to download and set up Skype and to know how to use it and to be comfortable using it. And we really didn't want a barrier at all. We wanted to be sure that we weren't making the assumption that everybody who was applying to Wake Forest fit that digital native mold. Maybe there were some who didn't fit that mold. So we kept thinking, trying to think of something else that might work, and we came up with Adobe Connect. That's really an easy option. The admissions counselor can set up the interview ahead of time and send the student a link in email. All the student has to do when it comes time for the interview is just click on the link and it opens the browser and the interview can begin. So that's one that has a much, much lower technology barrier. A student can use a browser, they can use this kind of interview. So, of course, the big question in everybody's mind is, how did that work out for you? So let me turn it back over to Martha to give us the rest of the story.
Well, obviously it worked out well or we wouldn't be here today. There's really not a big mystery to that. But it was interesting, and some things happened that we didn't really expect, and we learned along the way. Just to give you some numbers. Now, this is one of our admissions counselors actually doing an online interview, so we didn't just make this up. This really happened. To give you some numbers, in the first class, the class that came in the fall of 2009, 80% of the applicant pool had some sort of interview. 4,085 of those were face-to-face, and we counted the 185 webcam interviews we did that year as face-to-face, and 5,020 were written. In the class that came in this fall, 86% of the applicant pool was interviewed, and applications went up. So as you see, we did 10,616 interviews, 4,270 face-to-face, 6,346 written, and of those face-to-face, this year, 400 were webcam. And it really went very, very well for us. The counselors enjoyed doing it. The students enjoyed doing it. Let me tell you a little bit about the mechanics of kind of how we did it. First of all, we realized that since we had made this test optional change and were, as we called it, rethinking admissions, we had a great conference at Wake Forest called Rethinking Admissions, that we would really push out this information to students to say things are new at Wake Forest. So we created a brochure that explained all of this, that explained the interview options. We began talking in all of our information sessions. We sent email blasts out to counselors. We changed all of our publications to say the interview is really, really important to us. We posted this on the web. We put stories out on the web about it. We also created a timeline. As you probably know about admissions offices, we're very cyclical. And we go into hibernation, absolutely, just after Thanksgiving, reading files, and we really don't come out until those decision letters come out the end of March. And then we have a huge numbers of campus visitors. And so we had to kind of tailor our interview schedule to what the admission cycle was. So we decided that we would tell students that we will begin personal interviews on June the 1st, and those are done just in our office. We don't use alumni interviews. They are done by admissions officers. And we really encourage students to come to campus. What we did not want to do through our virtual interview options was to cannibalize the campus visit, because we know that when we get students on campus and they see how nice we are and how beautiful everything is, that is our best chance of enrolling them. So we kind of said to them, we really want you to come, but we understand that there might be reasons that you can't. And so if you can't, we want to provide you a way to do your interview. One of the things that we really worried about was, would we be setting up a logistical barrier for those who were far away, you know, international students who we were really trying to recruit by having an interview, or students who financially were not able to travel to Wake Forest. So we wanted to make sure that we removed those barriers, and that was one of the really important aspects of the virtual interview. So we told students that we want you to come after your junior year, after you complete your junior year, beginning June 1st, and we will interview all the way through the fall. Now, we also began doing webcam interviews in the fall. We set up Skype nights for the students on the West Coast or for students in different time zones so that they could interview. We also told them that you can't actually do a written interview until after all the opportunities for either virtual or face-to-face interviews are completed. So they couldn't really do that until after Christmas. The way we scheduled interviews, we sent out the emails to any student in the applicant pool who lacked an interview in that checkbox that Ann mentioned. We gave them information about how to schedule. They would contact us by telephone and say, okay, I want to do a personal interview, and we would schedule that on campus, or they would say, I really want to do a Skype. We would have them give us their Skype name. We would set up a time. Or we would say, if you want to use Adobe Connect, we can send you that link, and we set all of that up. We asked the students to give us also their telephone number so that if anything went wrong technologically while the interview was going on, we could always, you know, shut it off and call them. We had an option there. We continued communication with students all the way through. Our application deadline is January 15th. So through January and February, we continue to communicate with students who did not yet have an interview and say, okay, at this point, your only option is to do the written interview, and here is your link. And obviously, from the previous numbers, that worked very well, and most of them realized that this was an important part of the process. There are lots of interesting stories that go along with webcam interviews. I'll only share a few of those today because obviously our time is limited. But Some students took it very, very seriously. Our favorite one was the young woman who the web camera came on, and she had a violin sitting on one side of the screen and a bouquet of roses on the other. And she was sort of posed to do her interview. And then we have those that, you know, the barking dog runs through and the doorbell rings and the crying baby. And so it also, you know, gives you kind of a sense of how students deal with stress and unexpected things, whether they just have sort of a meltdown or they say, oh, that's my baby brother. And, you know, we kind of like that sort of confidence that they show. We had one family who had never heard of Skype. And when we, you know, talked with them about that, and they were so excited that this was free, and they had lived all over the world and began reconnecting with friends everywhere, and the mother called us in tears and said, you know, you have given me back a huge part of my life that I thought was just gone. Now I can look at my friends that I left in Japan 20 years ago. And so that was really very nice. We had a very poignant situation with an international student whom we were interviewing. And there was a white sheet behind her while she interviewed. And later when she came to Wake Forest as an enrolled student, she said, you know, I didn't want you to see how modest my house was, that my family kind of all lived in one room and my mother was behind me washing dishes, and I didn't want you to know that. This did really open a wonderful door for us with international students, because we were starting to really focus on recruiting international students. And we always worried a little bit about English proficiency, even with the TOEFL exam. This gave us an ability to have a conversation, a very informal or formal conversation with an international student, and kind of put our minds at rest as to what their language abilities were going to be. As Anne said, we did worry about the interview requirement being a barrier for those who were not technology natives and those that did not have the resources to have their own computer. We were so happy to see the response that we got from guidance counselors. When we sent out these notices about wanting to do interviews, counselors would call us and say, now tell us how to set up the Adobe Connect. Tell us how to set up the Skype, because we want to do that in our media center so our students can interview there. So those who don't have computers can do it there. So we were very, very pleased that happened. With the written interview, there were also some interesting things. It was very interesting for us to compare the essays, the short answer questions, and the online interview, because sometimes they were very, very different with the same student. And in a world where admissions officers worry a lot about applications that are, a word I like to use is sanitized, you know, they're read by the counselor and they're read by the parents and they're read by everybody, this gave us a little bit more of a clear, fresh picture of what the student was like. So sometimes we would get these absolutely eloquent, beautiful essays and short answer questions and then have the written interview that was barely coherent, and we would say, So that was really a very good piece of information for us. And sometimes it really brought out a sense of humor in the student, a creative side that was more casual, that was something that we didn't see in other places. So we really were glad to have that. This year we are continuing the process. We have expanded our staff somewhat. We are expanding the times that we are going to be interviewing both the personal interviews as well as the virtual. But we really are very, very excited about it. So really with every success, you immediately start thinking, okay, this went well. What more can we do? You know, that keeps people like Anne in work. So, you know, we always try to take care of the IS folks' job security. We spend a great deal of money, all colleges do, traveling around the country, visiting high schools, going to college fairs, and that's a real pressure on college budgets. And so we're always looking at ways that we can save money and do things efficiently. And so last year, we contacted a few of our a few college counselors that we knew very well and said, would you like to kind of do a pilot with us to do a virtual high school visit? And two of our young admissions counselors put together a presentation about Wake Forest, kind of a PowerPoint slideshow sort of thing with lots of facts and pretty pictures. We sent the big file over Skype. Now, I don't know how that happened. Please don't ask me a question about that. Maybe Ann knows that, but I don't know the technical process there. But we sent that. We showed the students who the counselor would gather in her office who were interested in Wake Forest, and then the admissions counselors themselves would come on the screen, and the students would be out there, and they would say hello, and they would talk, and the students would ask specific questions. And we found we could really have a very nice conversation. We didn't have to get on an airplane and fly to the place. We could do it at the convenience of the guidance counselor and the students, and it really worked out beautifully. So we are expanding that this year. We are also this fall going to be doing some virtual visits with fine arts faculty talking to students at fine arts high schools, schools that traditionally Wake Forest would not draw a lot of students, but it enables our theater department, our music department, to go into conservatories and talk to individual students and answer questions that we as admissions officers probably couldn't, very technical questions about the arts at Wake Forest. So we're continuing to use this. It really is kind of ironic. I've laughed with Ann about, you know, sometimes I struggle to get my email, and when she said, would you like to come with me and make a presentation at EDUCAUSE, and I said, are you kidding? There, you know, a lightning bolt might come down. That we are using technology to be more personal. And I think that's just a wonderful point. Wake Forest has really stepped out, I think, in this regard to say, we're not using this to become colder, more impersonal, to separate ourselves, but really to get to know students better and to make the process more human.
Thanks, Martha. So now it's question time. If any of you have questions, we'll be happy to see if we can give you good answers. Uh-huh.
Outside the technology side, but how did, when you went to the test optional format, how did the work of your admissions counselors change?
And you need to repeat the question.
Okay. The question was, how did the work of the admissions counselors change when we became test optional? I think we started earning our money a lot more than we had in the past. Our jobs got a lot harder. Certainly we were spending a lot of time interviewing, you know, we were spending a lot of time reading these short answer questions. We were working very hard to make fine discernments between high schools and high school records. We were spending a lot of time on the telephone to guidance counselors helping us to understand a particular course or grade or whatnot. You know, the buzzword in admissions is always holistic. You know, we do a holistic approach. Well, we really did. But I think we had such a good feeling about it. You know, all along we were saying to each other, we are making decisions based on the right things, and we are able to kind of handpick our students. And in a community like Wake Forest that's very close and very small and very diverse, it's really good, and faculty have told us, you know, these 2 years of classes have been different at Wake Forest. The library is absolutely packed. These are students that are really intellectually engaged. There are more students with pink hair and tattoos, and I told the college newspaper I didn't really keep statistics on that, but I had noticed that too. Just a lot more diversity, people who bring different things to the table. The face-to-face ones. And we really didn't differentiate very much between the webcam face-to-face and the in-the-room face-to-face. They really are very similar. And, you know, I have found myself, you know, Skyping my children at home and, you know, talking to them. And it, you know, it's just the same. And I'll say, did you clean your room? Move the webcam around so I can see if the bed is made. So, but the written one, didn't give us as much as we wanted. You know, it wasn't quite the same thing.
The rest of the application.
Right now, we are using the Banner Delivered web application just for this purpose. There are other mechanisms that they use for getting online applications, and you could address what those are. We had not used that one so far. Now, we may end up in the future, and then we'll have to go back and revisit these changes we made and be sure we can branch in the application. But I believe we can. I think we did it in such a way that we could branch if we do need to use the Banner Delivered product. I think we can do that without too much trouble. Are there? Do you want to address what the other online options are?
Well, we use the Common App. So, you know, that comes automatically. And then we have our own online application that we outsource to Royal & Company, the third party vendor.
In the orange? Uh-huh.
How are your students, your applicants who chose the virtual interview, how are they deciding between Skype and Connect? And did you get any feedback on how well those options work for them?
The question was, with the webcam interviews, how are the students choosing between Skype and Adobe Connect, and are we getting any feedback on that?
We had more students do the Skype just because they're familiar with that. You know, high school kids just do that. We had some of the counselors, guidance counselors, that wanted to do Adobe Connect. They were more comfortable with that. You know, I don't really know how that decision process. It was just what they were familiar with and more comfortable with. We would prefer that more of them are face-to-face, and we're trying to address that this year by expanding our offerings for interviews. We're also, as we travel this year, we are interviewing students on the road in the Pacific Northwest, in Texas, in places that are really far away, and in some rural communities in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, where students are not inclined to travel. So we are doing that. You know, we kind of debate in our office, and we really don't have enough data on this yet to determine if the ones who do written are less likely to enroll or who are really less interested. I think there is some of that. But some of it is Wake Forest really didn't get on my radar screen until it was too late for me to get an interview or visit. So, you know, we're trying to address that from a couple of ends. We allot 30 minutes for both. I have a very difficult time doing anything verbally in 30 minutes. So I tend to run over, you know, on the web, and I run over, you know, in person. So they always, you know, leave me a little extra time. Sometimes the web interviews are more efficient. You know, the students are there. They're ready to go. Whereas, you know, sometimes with the personal interviews, they're a little more nervous when they're face-to-face there with you. And so sometimes you have to spend a little more time kind of calming them down and setting the stage and before you can, you know, jump in and start talking. And that doesn't seem to be the case as much with the webcam.
Have you considered one other thing, which is the combination of the two things you've done, which is you provide the written questions and the student actually just records a video answering the questions and sends the video.
Well, our English department doesn't like the idea of less writing of any kind. So, no.
You know, I think that might also give the students the opportunity to record and re-record. Oh, I didn't say that very well. Let me go back and try that again. So I think we might be defeating one of our purposes if we allowed that. It's a good suggestion. So for those of you in the back, the question was, do you tell the students up front, well, if you do it now, you can do it this way, but if you wait, you only have the written choice? Was that sort of the gist of it?
The first year, we really didn't tell them. The second year, we did. We said, you know, we really encourage you to schedule your interviews now if you're planning to visit campus, or, you know, go ahead and schedule your webcam interviews. We have, you know, debated whether or not we should really push them to do to do face-to-face interviews and you know, show them that the or suggest to them that the written interview is a third choice. But this year we are doing that because we do feel like we have ample time to do the webcam interviews. We have enough people to do that. And so that shouldn't be a barrier, a logistical barrier.
So they do know that all three options exist,
yes,
from the start?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But they have a PIN number. They know they can't do the written interview until they've sent in an application. Okay. The first question is, we really did not see that in the first 2 years, but I do think that is in place. So it should be a better avenue for students with disabilities.
And I can address the other one. I have, in fact, interviewed two people recently using video instead of having them come to campus because we just couldn't get the travel arrangements worked out. And I know that we are, as a matter of fact, doing a big initiative to increase the use of video on campus. We have a partnership with Cisco where you're doing a WebEx initiative with them to increase the use of video for all those things that you mentioned. The question was, I think overall you have a greater cumulative face-to-face when you take the on-campus and the virtual.
We did this year. It grew.
Mm-hmm. The follow-up to that is, have you cut down the number of on-campus visits? Have you seen a decrease in that?
No, they've gone up.
Okay.
Our applicant pool has increased, and our visitor numbers have increased every year.
Mm-hmm. Is your move to WebEx in addition to Adobe Connect or instead of Adobe Connect specifically in regards to admission?
Right now it's in addition to.
Is there an implication that if it works well that you would go only to WebEx?
I don't really know. Everything is open right now to observation, testing, and so forth. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.